topic, which is fantastic that so many of you docs out there are mythically integrating your offices. We have, I think, over 50 people on the line today. So if there are any questions, just hold them till the end of the conference, and I'll try to answer as many as possible. But if I don't get to you for some reason, then you can always email me at healthcarerc@gmail.com. That's healthcarerc@gmail.com, and I can get back to you right away. Of course, you can always reach me by cell phone with 2, which is 267-251-5275. But let's get started. Today we're going to be talking about hiring physician assistants and nurse practitioners, best practices, how to accomplish all this, and all that good stuff that you need to be successful in having an integrated office. For those of you who don't know, let me go into a little bit of background about myself. Again, my name is Brian Torchin. I'm also a chiropractor, been a chiropractor since 1995. I graduated in New York Chiropractic College back then. I've since that time been opening up offices in the state of Delaware, Pennsylvania, managed offices in Florida as well. And most of the time I've been doing pain management and also medically integrated offices with medical doctors, nurse practitioners, physical therapists, chiropractors. So I have a lot of experience, expertise in the medical model. And with that experience, we started HCRC staffing about 6 years ago. And we work with about 400 different chiropractic offices all over the country. We even work in some other countries. We have clients in the UK, Asia, for example, things like that. So hopefully you find what I'm about to share with you helpful. Relevant to your current practice, and we'll start now. As always, anything that I tell you, you know, every state has such different laws, so always check with a qualified healthcare attorney before starting anything. Please don't try to integrate your practice without an attorney. It's very complicated, very tricky. If you need help finding an attorney, I can find you an attorney in every state that's healthcare specific only. And that's crucial. Use a healthcare-only attorney. It's very important to do that stuff. So with that being said, let's start on. So like I said, today we're going to be talking about hiring nurse practitioners and physician assistants. Some topics I'd like to cover today are you looking to hire a PA or an NP, but you're not really quite sure how to begin the process? We'll speak about that. Another topic we'll talk about is if you hired a PA or an NP in the past, but they did not work out, why was that? How to stop that from happening? We'll talk about that. And I want to also teach you effective interview techniques both on the phone, so a phone interview, and an in-person interview. And I want to talk to you about salary, benefits, contract negotiations, and then what's the best way for these employees to be used or the procedures they should be doing while working in your office. So hold me to those points. If for some reason I ramble and get off track, please let me know. If I don't answer something during this teleseminar, again, email me or call me. So let me give you a little bit of background first on who are these physician assistants and nurse practitioners. Very basic, the abbreviations we use are PAs. PA is a physician assistant, also known as PA-C. The C stands for certified. And then there are nurse practitioners, NPs. Basically, and in a generality, from a treating standpoint, they're very similar. They can both do everything that you need done in your office as far as, you know, doing trigger point injections, seeing patients, prescribing meds, working under a medical doctor, weight loss, ALCAT, all that stuff. They could basically do everything. They both go to post-college. So PAs go to PA school, which is a 3-year program, I believe, after college. So they do 4 years of college, then they go to a PA school. They're all over the country. where they learn everything from family practice to pain management and OB-GYN and everything in between. They have different rotations. So, you know, it's basically like med school. It's a much shorter program. Nurse practitioners are very similar. You know, they go to a four-year college. However, they're also registered nurses before they become nurse practitioners. So an NP already has, usually will have, a large healthcare background already, whereas a PA may not. A PA, this might be the first introduction into medicine that they've had, whereas an NP is already an RN. And then they get their nurse practitioner degree as a master's program afterwards. So that's a little bit of a difference. And you should always keep that in mind when evaluating who you're going to hire, a PA or an NP. NPs, you know, they're just, by definition, they're going to have more experience. They've usually have already worked as RNs and then went back to school for another year or two to get their NP. So they already have experience, whereas a PA went to college and then went to PA school. And they may not have any other medical training until they graduate a PA school. So when we talk about new grads, a PA new grad is much different than an NP new grad. So, you know, a lot of times I like hiring new graduates because you can get them for much less, of course, of a salary than you could get someone who's an experienced provider. However, that's not always the case with a nurse practitioner because, like I said, they were RNs. So I don't want to beat this subject to death. Hopefully you get my point on who a PA or an NP are and the differences. Another major difference between a PA and NP, and this is going to really vary from state to state, but as a generality, PAs always have to have a supervising physician. And there are very strict laws on what that means, how far the supervising physician can be from the office, how often the physician has to be on site, things like that. Nurse practitioners are generally more autonomous, and some states might have collaborative agreements that need to be signed with a nurse practitioner or a physician, but the supervision requirements are usually less. And that's really going to vary from state to state. So if you have a state-specific question, remember to ask a healthcare attorney. I could do some research for you, but whatever I find, we'd have to qualify with a healthcare lawyer anyway. So basically, either one is great for your practice, a PA or an NP. They can both do what you need done. It's just a question of where you are at in this integration process. So if you already have a full-time medical doctor or you have a supervising physician already, well, then you can really, it doesn't matter. You can hire a PA or an NP. If you don't have a medical doctor, you know, maybe you want to go with a nurse practitioner to start. You know, so it's really going to vary from office to office on who you're going to want to use. The other thing with a nurse practitioner, and keep this in mind, not all NPs will be able to see your patients. Okay? When they go, when the RNs, the registered nurses, go to NP, nurse practitioner school, there are different programs that they can choose. Some become family nurse practitioners, where they can see all ages. Some will become pediatric nurse practitioners, in which that means they're only licensed to see children and infants. Obviously, that's not going to work for your practice. There are advanced clinical nurse practitioners, and there are age restrictions on them as well. There are some nurse practitioners that go into psychiatric program, and they can only work in psychiatric settings. There are nurse practitioners, women's health nurse practitioners, I believe is the last one. And, of course, they are only going to be doing OB-GYN work. So you have to be careful. If you're doing these searches on your own, if you're not using an outside agency like my agency, be careful when you're interviewing these people because not all nurse practitioners will be able to see your patients. It's very specific. So you really want to look for the ones that can do family nurse practitioner. It's an FNP. And there's a couple of other ones that can see all ages too. So just be leery of that. For physician assistants, there are no limitations. You know, they get their PA, they get certified, they take the national exam, and they can see everyone from infants to elderly. So that's the good part about a PA. And that's basically the different types. And that really kind of gives you a good background of who they are and the differences between them. So let me kind of go into a little bit about how to locate a mid-level on your own. I'll give you a little shared industry secrets. You know, wherever you're located, if you're in New York, Long Island, or if you're in L.A., California, or I think we have some callers on the line from Columbus, Ohio today. There are so many PA and NP programs throughout the country. A good resource to do is just to Google the local schools, and if you need help finding the schools, just shoot me an email, and I'll send you a list of schools that are within your area. I don't mind doing that. And you can actually email the program director. Let them know what you're doing and that you're looking to hire, and they'll probably send out an email blast to people in their database for you for free. And who knows, maybe you know, you'll find somebody on there that's looking for a job, and that's a real easy way for you to get a PA or an NP. It doesn't always work, but at least it's free. For those of you who want a more streamlined process and want to use a professional staffing company like mine, we're more than happy to help you with the process. And, you know, we would do all the advertising for you and locate and find numerous PA and NP candidates for you. So whatever route you want to take, I'm here to help either way. Okay, so now you have found a candidate. Let's say you advertised a job or I advertised a job for you and we found a candidate. Now what do you do? You know, many of you have experience interviewing chiropractors and front desk people, but a lot of you don't have experience interviewing other professionals in medicine, like medical doctors, PAs, NPs, and that could be an intimidating process. So for those of you who are already my clients, you know that I walk you through that process. Besides staffing, I offer, you know, I also do consulting, and I walk you through step by step the entire interview process. So you never have to be afraid. But if you're not utilizing me, my recommendation is to first do a phone interview with the candidate. Send them an email, send them some days and times that you're free for a phone interview. It could be after hours. And then spend like 5 to 10 minutes with them on the telephone. I would not get into anything specific. You're just speaking to them to see if there's good synergy. Explain to them that, yes, you're a chiropractor, but you've formed a medically integrated office with medical doctors. And I would talk about the medical doctor that you have. If you don't have one, I would recommend that would be their first step before looking for the PA or the NP. They will feel more comfortable if you have the medical doctor already and you could talk about them. So let's say your medical doctor is Dr. Joe Jones, who's a physiatrist. And it would be great if Joe Jones can get on the phone with you and do the interview. If not, you could always talk him up and his role and how he's going to be working with the PA and the NP. You'll want to let the PA and NP know what your plans are on the phone. You can let them know about you want them to do trigger point injections. You're going to be doing allergy testing. Whatever you're going to be doing, medical bracing. I would keep it short to the point, 5 to 10 minutes. You can ask them questions about where they went to school, why did they leave their past job. Keep it light, though. Do not get into salary. Do not get into benefits at this point. You're just keeping it light to see if there's a good synergy between you and them. If there is, immediately while you're on the phone with them, schedule an in-person interview. If you don't like them on the phone, just politely say, okay, I appreciate your time. And, you know, we're doing other phone interviews, and we'll get back with you shortly. Something nice. But for the in-person interview, schedule it right away if you want to meet with them. Okay, so now you've scheduled the in-person interview. Here's where I would spend a lot of time with them, probably a good hour. And here's where, you know, the first thing I would do is, you know, greet them when they come in. I'd give them a tour of the entire office. Hopefully your medical doctor can be there too. I'd give them a tour of the office, where they're going to be working. I'd show them all the equipment that they're going to be utilizing, what your plans are, things like that. And at this point, you know, you can get into them why they're looking for a job. Maybe they're a new graduate. Why they want to work in an MD, medically integrated office. Why they want to, you know, basically your office is more pain management at this point. So why they want to work in a pain management type office. Are they comfortable doing medical bracing and injections and things like that? You can let them know that that you will be fully training these people, the PAs and NPs. I'll get into the training part a little bit in this teleseminar, but let them know that you can train them. Most of these candidates are not going to have the experience of joint injections, trigger point injections, medical bracing, all CAT testing. This is very new to them. They don't really teach this types of protocols in PA or NP school. This is very new. So let them know that you will be training them. That'll take the anxiety away, especially if they're newer graduates. So at this point, if you like them, you know, you can discuss salary, you can discuss benefits. Salary, I'll get in, and as you know, really, it's really going to depend on location. If you have a candidate now and you want to run any kind of salary questions past me, always feel free to email or call me. But as a generality, if they're newer graduates, full-time, anywhere from $85,000 to $90,000 a year is full-time. If they have experience, these PAs and NPs are making over $100,000 a year. You also have to remember your competition is the hospitals and the urgent care centers, which are very close to your offices, and they're always hiring. That's what they offer, so that's what you have to offer. Benefits that these people expect, they expect health insurance. I just did a blog recently. If you didn't see that blog, let me know, and I'll email you a copy of it about health insurance. It's crucial. They expect it. Sometimes their spouse has it, so you can get away with not having it. But if you don't have health insurance, you're putting yourself at a big disadvantage. They're expecting paid time off. Minimum is 2 weeks. Anything lower, you're going to lose potential candidates. You have to be able to absorb 2 weeks that they're going to take off. A lot of the hospitals and urgent cares offer 3 weeks vacation. Well, 3 weeks, not vacation, but sick time, vacation, all inclusive. 401k is a nice option. And must, you have to pay their malpractice. It's inexpensive. If you don't have resources for malpractice, I have agents I can send you to that will take care of that for you. Let's talk about non-compete clauses that a lot of my clients I see are putting in contracts. And because of these non-compete clauses, you're losing candidates. Look, I get the idea of why you want non-compete clauses, and you don't want people stealing your practice, right? These mid-levels, these PAs and NPs are not typical. It's always been common when you hire an associate chiropractor to have a non-compete clause, and that's very obvious for obvious reasons why you need that. The PAs and NPs are very different. In my opinion, I don't really think you need a non-compete clause, but if it makes you feel comfortable, word it differently. Don't make it 10 miles that they can't work in a medical office if they leave you. It's ridiculous. They're not going to take the job. That means they can't work in a hospital or a family practice. And quite honestly, you don't care if they work across the street as long as it's not competing with you. So if you're going to have a non-compete clause, make the compete clause relevant to competing with you. So you could write something like, cannot work for a chiropractic medically integrated office or something like that. And make it the radius and mileage fair and reasonable. If you need help with that lingo and language, let me know. I can help you with that. You could speak to your attorney about setting up a competitive bonus structure. I have pretty good ideas for that. We just have to make sure that doesn't violate any of the laws in your state. And, of course, like I said, contracts are important. But make sure the non-competes aren't that crazy. If you have contracts currently and you want me to review it, let me know. I'm more than happy to do that for you. Okay, so you've gotten through all that. You got through the contracts, negotiations, and all that stuff, and the PA or the NP is ready to sign on. What do you do with them now? They don't know how to, more than likely, they don't know how to do the injections. They can examine the patient, but really you need to get them trained. And you need to get them trained for a few reasons. One, that they'll feel comfortable doing the procedures and they'll be effective when treating your patients. And two, once they feel like they have this training and they're really good at it, they're going to want to do more procedures on patients. They're not going to be afraid to do it. So it's really crucial. There are so many training centers out there for joint injections all over the country. So depending on where you are, I could recommend training centers. I know some in California, I know some in Ohio, some in Florida, some in Maryland, New York. Just depending where you are, that's where I'd recommend you send them. And it's like a weekend training seminar. And you could do a refresher one, so if they didn't learn it all in one weekend, you can send them for another weekend. That's crucial. You don't want somebody in the office that's afraid to do procedures because they don't know how to do it. It opens up a lot of risk for your patients, too. But more importantly, you want the PA and the NP to feel comfortable and to know what they're doing in the office. So that's really crucial on that. And that's the major steps in implementing a PA and NP. You know, I caution you in the beginning, if you're doing this on your own without, you know, someone's help like me, is to, you know, you can call the schools and see if they have any candidates they can send over to you. But realize salary is a must. You know, 85 to 95K for new grads, experience over 100K. You got to have benefits with health care, paid time off, 401K, medical malpractice. Make sure your non-competes are relevant to actually not competing with you. You want to have a bonus plan in place and a nice, easy contract. Try to keep your contracts less than 20 pages, please. Some of these contracts these attorneys write up are enormous, and it scares people away. So try to keep that, you know, as relevant as possible. And at the end, once you have somebody, before they start, get them the training. It's crucial. Like I said, I can recommend different training centers around the country. Hopefully this answers a lot of the questions that you have. If anyone has any questions, just I'm here in one doc now. Okay, Doc, what's your question? No, I'm the only one who can hear you. Okay. Okay, good question. The doc asked the question wanting to know if he's able to utilize my company to help find a PA or an NP, but also search for his own candidate on his own. And, yeah, that's not a problem. My agreements are non-exclusive. So if you want my help finding a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, but you also want to have the availability to try to find somebody on your own, well, you could do that at the same time. That's not a problem. So, yeah, for those of you who want to try this process on your own, realize you could also work with me. It could be simultaneous. So good question, Doc. Any other questions coming in? Okay, one other doc. Go ahead. On salary. Yeah, okay, good question. Wants to know, since the new nurse practitioners, even though they're new graduates when they come out, are they really new graduates because they've already worked in the RN field for 10 years? And you get a lot of that. You'll have, like, nurse practitioners who have been RNs for 20 years and decided to go back to nurse practitioner school for a year and got their NP. Well, they're going to get paid much different and another new graduate who never had any RN nursing experience. So you got to keep that in your mind, too, when you're interviewing these candidates. All new grads are not equal, especially for the nurse practitioners, because a lot of them may have had experience for the past 20 years, 10 years, 5 years as an RN. So you want to be careful of that as well. Any other questions? I don't see any. All right. Well, hopefully you found the topics today beneficial. Like I said, we were going to talk about you're looking for a nurse practitioner or PA, but you don't know how to begin the process. We spoke about that. We contacted the different schools. Have you hired a PA or an NP in the past, but it did not work out? And why is that? You know, a lot of times that has to do with them not being trained, and they're you know, a lot of times the docs throw them into the injection injection work. They don't know how to do it, and they're afraid, and they leave because of that. That's a big thing. So you want to make sure that they're trained, and then they'll stay. They'll feel part of a team. Also, you really want to have the medical doctor on board before looking for the PA or the NP because, you know, working in a chiropractic medically integrated office is not something they're familiar with. And the unknown is sometimes scary. So if you have the medical doctor already, it'll ease the process that much better. And the third topic we were supposed to speak about today, effective interview techniques both on the phone and in person to discuss salary, benefits, and contracts. And we spoke about that in detail. So I think we got everything that that was on the agenda for today. If there's any other questions, you could always email me again at healthcarerc@gmail.com. The website is www.hcrcstaffing.com. And my cell phone, if you ever need to get a hold of me, is 267-251-5275. And again, if you're already in the process of interviewing PAs and NPs and you just want to call me for some questions about negotiations or contracts or anything, feel free to always email or call me. Never a problem. If you need my help finding candidates, feel free to email or call me. I'll go over the process in more detail. I hope you found this beneficial. And we'll probably be doing another webinar or teleseminar next month. I'm open for topics, so if there's anything that you want to hear, I haven't picked the topic yet, feel free to shoot me an email with anything that you'd like to learn or know. Again, Brian Torchin, I thank you all. You guys have been great. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.